I don't know, my son, he goes to the old-fashioned here. He's got a hand mic. You don't want one of these things?
Okay. No, that's fine.
All right.
We do have quite a few prayer concerns, so let's keep that in mind as we open. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We need you. We need your hand to touch our lives, Lord God. There's so many hurts, so many pains, Lord God. You are the healer. Lord God, we ask that you would come and heal. Not just our physical needs, Lord, but heal right down to our soul, to the innermost person, Lord God. Bring your healing. Lord Jesus, we thank you for bringing us here today. Open our hearts. Open our ears, open our hearts to receive from you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here today. Lord, Holy Spirit, do your work. Reach into people's hearts, Lord God. Convict who you would. Bring freedom to who you would. Thank you, God. Amen. Now, in opening today, I've actually been reading in Judges quite a bit, and I was reminded this morning that the troubles in Israel began with Israel himself, Jacob, who is Israel. And in Genesis 42, we see the story of how those brothers, the 12 tribes, began. The 12 brothers. It didn't start out very good. They didn't start out very godly brothers. They didn't treat one another very well. In fact, their brother Joseph, they beat him up. Some of the brothers were actually going to kill him. They were so jealous of him that they were going to kill him. But the eldest brother said, no, don't kill him. Here's a caravan. Let's sell him. We'll sell him into slavery. And we'll say that he was killed by a wild beast. And they brought the coat of the brother home to Israel. Your son's dead. So Israel didn't start out so good one anothering. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is one anothering. And we're called to love one another. Actually, over in Judges 3:7, it says, so the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherahs. Verse 8, therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. God was not pleased with Israel. And this happened over and over again. It started with the brothers, the 12 tribes, and it continued over and over again. They would repent. The brothers repented before their brother Joseph and asked and pleaded him to forgive them. Over and over again, the children of Israel would forget. They would forget the hand of God, and they would fall away. Our Father's house. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against our Father's house. Christian Community Church. That could happen here. that could happen if we don't remember to one another properly. That could happen here. Maybe it even has happened here from time to time. But we need to come back. We need to come back and lay ourselves at Jesus' feet and one another the way he's called us to. Carrie, could you share about the great one another?
Okay. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus is speaking and he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." However, we have to go back into Leviticus to find out what the original commandment was. If we go to Leviticus 19:18, it says, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." They're pretty close to the same when you first read them. There is some difference. In the first one, we're called to love because that's what we're told, pretty much, right? We're told to love our neighbor as ourselves. In the second one, when Jesus is speaking, we're told to love one another as Christ loves us. We're supposed to love one another the way he's taught us. It's a sacrificial love for one another, like Jesus has for us. The love of Jesus in us and seen through his example, where he loved everyone and gave himself for everyone. So in that simple commandment in John 34, to love one another, it means more than simply giving lip service. It means acting in a sacrificial way to love one another. Later on, it says we're supposed to love one another more than ourselves. We're supposed to value someone else's life higher than our own. It's a sacrificial love that we're called to when we love one another.
What did Jesus do when he loved? He reached out his hand. He put his hand on the sick. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." He touched them. That's the kind of love we're supposed to have. We're supposed to reach out. Not just say, "I hope you have a great day. I hope God blesses you. God bless you. Go be filled," and then we don't fill. God gives us the opportunity every day to reach out with that kind of love and to love one another. The early example of the church as the church first began over in Acts 2, 46 and 47. It tells us, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." It says that, what did they do? First, they were in one accord. Where did they go? They were in the temple. And not just in the temple, not just in the house of God. They went from house to house, and they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They were together. This is one anothering. They were together, loving one another and living life together, one with another. Now, I can say that I love someone. I can say, I'm going to pray for you. You have a need, I'm going to pray for you. But there's a major difference. That's, I say, prove it. Show me that you love one another. It wasn't too long ago when we first moved here to Wisconsin. I didn't have a place to go. I didn't have a place to stay. And my dear sister and brother-in-law, they one another with me. They invited me into their home. That is one another. And I'm thankful and grateful to them for what they've done. It wasn't always fun. We were there a year. That's a long time to one another in the same house. But they did it. And they showed me love. Now that's my family. This is our family. This is the family that God has given us. All of us around us. We need to live life together. We need to one another. Just saying I love you isn't enough. We have to do it. We have to step out. We have to do it. We have to one another. It's not enough just to say I love you. We have to reach out. I love you. One another. It takes stepping out. It takes physical contact. Reaching out a hand in love. And I do. I love the people here. I love, it's a privilege and an honor to be here in this place. This is family to me. All of you are family to me. And a lot of you actually are family, but you are family to me. And thank you that we can one another in this place.
One of the neat things about one anothering as we move on is that it brings freedom. And one of the verses John liked was 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Doesn't say anything about one anothering there, does it? But it does. If we go on, it gets explained in, where was it? Sorry. In Galatians 6:2, we read, okay, technical difficulty. All right, Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then we go to James 5:16. And it says,
confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
So when we begin to bear one another's burdens, we begin to confess to one another, we begin to pray for one another, all of a sudden, we're moving in the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We need to confess our trespasses one to another. If we have sinned against a brother or a sister, or we feel that they have sinned against us, we should be really quick to confess those things and then pray for each other so that there can be restoration. Pray for one another that you may be healed. We have a wall of separation between the Lord and us if we have aught against our brothers. But when we come together and find that freedom and liberty and walking in the Spirit because we're doing right in the sight of God, when we're bearing with one another, what does that mean? To bear, the word in the Greek, John looked it up. It's to lift up or lift against. My word picture in my head was two people rolling a huge stone up a mountain. They bear one another's burden. They're working together to overcome and to get to the next level that they need to get to. We need to bear with one another.
Yes, in the Greek, that's anacho, and it means to push up against. To push up against, and actually it means to put up with. You're talking about a load sometimes with your brothers and sisters. Sometimes it's a load. Sometimes you have to put up with some stuff. But we need to do that. We need to push through that, push beyond that, and we need to love one another and bear one another's burdens. And by living life together, if the Spirit of the Lord is there in your midst, that burden is going to find liberty. It's going to find freedom in the presence of God. But in order for that to be, we have to be together. We have to one another. It's not just the love part, it's one anothering together.
One of the neat things about that is in Proverbs, 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. As we bear with one another, as we pray with one another, as we lift each other and we help each other, and we lean up against each other, as we do these things, we're sharpening each other. It takes humility to come to someone and say, I'm sorry. I've said something wrong against you that wasn't true. I'm sorry. Mad, and it wasn't really something that you did, it was just me. I'm sorry, I had my own ideas about something, and you went a different way, and it made me mad. It takes humility to say those things to someone. And if that person at that time accepts that and prays with them, iron has just sharpened iron. And a man's countenance has changed. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. If we're too worried about looking like a fool, or we think we have the right to hang on to anger or resentment or bitterness, we're never going to get there. We're never going to be able to sharpen each other. Cut off what's wrong and bring to the light this new countenance that's been sharpened.
John 20, verses 21 and 23. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, Jesus was sending out his disciples to minister. He was sending them out by the power that he bestowed on them. He gave them power. And they went out and they preached the kingdom. And he says, verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven of them. God wants us to forgive each other. If somebody hurts you, it's the loving thing, it's the loving example of Jesus to forgive them. We have to remember that it's our sins that put Jesus on the cross. It's what we did. It's the hurts that we inflicted on each other that put him on the cross. And what did he do? We put him there. We put him on the cross. He forgave us. He forgave our sins. We need to do the same. We need to forgive people their sins. We need to bear with one another, bear one another's burdens. First John 1:7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship with one another. Jesus wants to bring his cleansing blood to you through fellowship with one another. If we're not together, we're not getting it. If we aren't in the same place together, we're not getting it. That's not one anothering. If there's division in our body, we are not one anothering. We have to forgive. We need to be quick to forgive. We need to be quick to restore that fellowship. And that fellowship with one another brings cleansing, the cleansing blood of Jesus on us. We need each other. We need one another. Now, I'm not saying that you guys aren't one anothering. You are. When we have celebrations, when we have birthdays, we love each other and we say happy birthday and we celebrate with them. When we have graduations, we come together and we say congratulations. That is one another. It's fellowship. It's living life. It's celebrating life together. Even more so, week to week, month to month. Just recently, we had a men's prayer breakfast. And dear brother Doug Klein, he shared. And we sat and we fellowshiped one with another as men. And we prayed for one another and we lifted one another up. And I'm thankful for that. I've been in several different men's groups. I haven't been in a men's group quite like that. It's wonderful to look around to see my brothers, sitting around and know that I have fellowship with them. that we're one anothering. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that.
This morning we sang, what do you guys call it, the revival song. And if we turn to Colossians 3, starting at verse 13, what's it start out with? Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So right there, we've got bearing with one another and forgiving one another. We go on from there. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. If we put on love and we've borne with one another and we have forgiven one another, then we can let the peace of God rule in our hearts. That's what we're called to. It says, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. We are called to one another in every area of our life. One of the main purposes is so that we can have the peace of God rule in our hearts. If we have that love for one another, and we have that bond of perfection, we have peace in our hearts. We have peace in our church. We can look at one another and not see disgust. We can look at one another and see love. We can look at one another and know that's my sister, that's my brother. We have to bear with one another, forgive one another, love one another.
One of my favorite things about Carrie and I and our one anothering, Ephesians 5:19. I always remember this scripture because we do it. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting one to another in the fear of God. That first part, I love that. I love being married to somebody who's such a musician, because we'll be driving along on the highway and she'll start singing. And she'll be singing and it will be encouraging my spirit. She will be building me up by singing. And we're to do that. Living life together, we need to be encouraging one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's one anothering. I know when we come to church, we're supposed to be looking to Jesus and to be praising Jesus. But honestly, I can praise Jesus everywhere I go. He created this entire world. I can go out on the lake, throw a line in the water, and I can praise Jesus. Thank you for your wonderful creation. But there's something about coming into the house of the Lord. When we come into this place, God wants us to one another. When I'm singing, I can look out and I can see your faces praising Jesus, blessing your Savior. And my heart is encouraged by the peace and the serenity on your faces when you're looking to your Savior. That is one anothering, looking and being encouraged by one another in the presence of the Lord. Yes, I can do it out in the woods. I can praise God, and it helps. I can tell people are praising God out there by what you do and how quickly you enter in when you come into this place and you praise and worship God. I can tell that you're doing it out there because when you do it in here, it's quick. It's immediate. It's a familiar relationship with God. It's a togetherness with God. And that's what he wants. Not just for us and him, but he brings us together to one another. To be together and love one another.
Back in Colossians, if you go to verse 16, they talk about that as well. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but most of the time people don't admonish me with a hymn. You know, most of the time someone's just going to come up to me and talk to me about something. But if we listen to the songs, if we read the songs that we sang today, there's admonishment in the songs.
Excuse me, Carrie.
Yes.
What does admonishing mean?
Gee, I don't know.
What was that?
Oh, stop. I don't know which second it stopped on. But admonishing is correcting someone's behavior so that they do right in the Lord. Admonishing is also building someone up so that they step up to be with the Lord and do what is right. So when we admonish one another, it can be somewhat negative, but the end point is to get closer to Jesus, correct? When we admonish one another, it's not punishing one another. It's not coming against one another. It's building them up. It's saying, baby, you need to worship the Lord. I saw you out at Festival Foods and you were crying in your car. If you're that heartbroken in your spirit that you can't go grocery shopping without crying, you need to be praising the Lord. You need to be worshiping the Lord. You need to be calling out to the Lord. You need to cry out with every part of your being to the Lord. Because as we cry out to him, we draw close to him and our lives change. If we're walking in anger and you see someone, they look at you and they give you that sort of, hi, how you doing? Look. You know that person is not walking in love for you. And if that's happening in the church, it's a hard one. How do we confront that person and say, listen, I love you. I don't know what I did to hurt you. I don't even know if I did anything to hurt you, if it's just my personality. But please, can we restore this? admonishing one another is part of opening a church to healing. And it takes bravery sometimes. And it's so hard. Especially if they're a person who seems to be higher than you in status or whatever. But wrong is wrong in the Lord, and right is right. If we want to one another, each other properly, we have to do it in love. I'd rather do it with a song. But sometimes we do have to talk to each other about it and find that healing and restoration.
Battery time. Treat you.
One thing I've never been really excited about, and I'm sure none of you have, is something called conflict resolution. Anybody know what that is? I've been at different workplaces where they had to teach us conflict resolution. That means you tick somebody off, and now work is not working. Things aren't working, so we need some conflict resolution. And I've worked at a major retail distribution chain, and they were very politically correct and everything, but they did. They had to take us in because people don't always get along. You know, you get that look from somebody, and you know they're ticked off at you. And even just that look. Well, maybe that's overstating, but you can get a look from somebody and you can know that they are not happy with you. So how do you deal with that? So this major corporation had to teach people how to get along with one another. Because in the workplace, if you don't want another properly, things aren't going to work, and things aren't going to get done. So, conflict resolution. It's in the body of Christ. It's not just out in the world. It's in the body of Christ. And there's some bad one another's. If you look at Galatians 5:15, which is actually right after 14, which is talks about you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. He's talking to the Galatians. He's talking to the Galatian church. Look out lest you bite and devour one another. Notice one another. They're one anothering, and they're not doing it so well.
There's another one in Matthew 24:10. And it says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Those aren't very good one anothers. We don't want to be a church that betrays one another. We don't want to be a church that hates one another. What does betrayal look like in a church? It's that simple thing of leaving the church and then speaking poorly against the church or against someone in the church. Or eating your pastor for lunch in front of other people. That's betrayal. If pastor says something that you have a problem with up here, he is very, very open and willing to talk with you about it after church. Betrayal comes when you eat them afterwards someplace else and don't give them a chance to tell you what the word says. Hating one another. What does that look like in the body? It's that simple thing. Someone comes into the church, has a personality you don't like, you ignore them and treat them like they're dirt. Or you out and out hate them. Wish they weren't there. Some people get to the point that they even wish they were dead. And that's in the church.
Over in James 4, verse 11 and 12, it says, do not speak evil of one another. Brethren, he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge.
Pastor was just talking about that in Bible study. That there's only one person that God has put on this planet to be a judge. And that was over in John 5. John 5. So that was John 5, 26 and 27.
It says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Jesus is the judge, not us. We're not called to bring judgment on anyone. We don't have the authority to condemn our brother or speak evil against our brother. Only Jesus, who paid everything to forgive that brother and that sister, he's the only one who has the authority to judge like that.
Now, that doesn't stop us from calling out a sin for a sin. We are called to do that. In the Bible, we're supposed to make sure that we're right in our hearts and that we've removed the plank from our own eye before we talk about the speck in someone else's.
As brothers and sisters, it is our duty not to judge, but to rescue one another. If your brother or sister is in trouble, we need to go to them and rescue them. Sometimes we have to have an intervention in their lives where you go and you walk through and help that person recover from that struggle. Sometimes we have to do that.
Over in Matthew, it talks about how we're supposed to restore things with our brother, as John mentioned, in Matthew 18, 15 through 17. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established.
Take note in verse 15. What does it say will happen when you bring the fault to your brother? At the very end of the verse, if he hears you, you have what? You have gained a brother. That brother is restored. So we need to restore We do. We need to reach out to one another and restore one another. That's what God intends.
We spoke about Joseph and his brothers, the beginning of the 12 tribes, his brothers. And there was a big famine in the land, and because of where Joseph was, God used him in a mighty way to basically save the known world from the famine. His brothers, who again thought he was dead, went to Egypt to buy grain, to buy food. And when they get there, Joseph sees them, and he recognizes them immediately. But he wanted to test their hearts. So he sold them the stuff and had them put the money bags back in there. And he was also told to bring back the little brother.
Yep, they went out and found the brothers. And the Egyptians went out and they found the brothers and took them into possession and say, hey, you guys have stole from us. They searched their bags, and guess what? The money was in the bag. So Joseph was testing his brothers to see if they would go back, if they would betray their younger brother. When he discovered that they had a younger brother, he wanted to know if they would betray that younger brother into their hands and not make it good. Well, what happens at the end of the story? God restored that family. Joseph discovered, no, they do love the younger brother. And they did repent about what they had done to him. And he discovered that he had restored his brothers. His brothers were restored to him. And now we have the 12 tribes of Israel because of that restoration. And what God intended from the beginning, and what those brothers had intended for evil, God took that evil and made good. And he brought salvation to that family and the whole land. He brought salvation through his restoration power. As members of this church, we stood here and we made vows, promises before God that we would live a Christian life and that we would devote our service to this body. And as a congregation, you did the same. You renewed your vow at that time. God looks at those vows as very serious business. He doesn't take our vows lightly. God is requiring that we live the Christian life, that we love one another, and that we do that together. Let's go ahead and look back at John 13:35. Now before this he says, a new commandment I give you. Verse 35, he says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That is the sign, that is the seal that we belong to Jesus, if we love one another. That's how people will know that we're following Jesus, because we have love for one another. In closing, could we have the music group come forward? First Peter 4:8. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. We have opportunity to cover the sins of our brothers and our sisters with the love of Jesus and to walk them through that. As the music group begins to play, I ask that you would look to God. If you have to, come forward and repent before God and say, God, help me to forgive my brother. Help me to go out of here forgiving and loving my brother and my sister. Let's go ahead and sing.